Chapter 61. Rheumatism is a terrible thing in a dog. It is painful enough in humans, but an acute attack can reduce an otherwise healthy dog to terrified, screaming immobility. Very muscular animals suffered most, and I went carefully as my fingers explored the bulging triceps and gluteals of the little Staffordshire Bull Terrier. Normally a tough little fellow, afraid of nothing, friendly, leaping high in an attempt to lick people's faces, but today, rigid, trembling, staring anxiously in front of him. Even to turn his head a little brought a shrill howl of agony. Mercifully, it was something you could put right, and quickly too. I pulled the Novalgene into the syringe and injected it rapidly. The little dog, oblivious to everything but the knife-like stabbing of the rheumatism, did not stir at the prick of the needle. I counted out some salicylate tablets into a box, wrote the directions on the lid, and handed the box to the owner. "Give him one of these as soon as the injection has eased him, Mr. Taverner. Then repeat in about 4 hours. I'm pretty sure he'll be greatly improved by then." Mrs. Taverner snatched the box away as her husband began to read the directions.
"Let me see it,"
she snapped.
"No doubt I'll be the one who has the job to do."
It had been like that all the time, ever since I'd entered the beautiful house with the terraced gardens leading down to the river. She had been at him ceaselessly while he was holding the dog for me. When the animal had yelped, she had cried,
"Really, Henry, don't grip the poor thing like that. You're hurting him."
She had kept him scuttling about for this and that, and then, when he was out of the room, she said,
"You know, this is all my husband's fault. He will let that dog swim in the river. I knew this would happen."
Halfway through, daughter Julia came in, and it was clear from the start that she was firmly on Mama's side. She helped out with plenty of,
"How could you, Daddy?" and, "For God's sake, Daddy!"
and generally managed to fill in the gaps when her mother wasn't in full cry. The Taverners were in their 50s. He was a big, floridly handsome man who had made millions in the Tyneside shipyards before pulling out of the smoke to this lovely place. I had taken an instant liking to him. I had expected a tough tycoon and had found a warm, friendly, curiously vulnerable man, obviously worried sick about his dog. I had reservations about Mrs. Taverner, despite her still considerable beauty. Her smile had a switched-on quality, and there was a little too much steel in the blue of her eyes. She had seemed less concerned about the dog than with the necessity of taking it out on her husband. Julia, a scaled-down model of her mother, drifted about the room with the aimless, bored look of the spoilt child, glancing blankly at the dog or me, staring without interest through the window at the smooth lawns, the tennis court, the dark band of river under the trees. I gave the terrier a final reassuring pat on the head and got up from my knees. As I put away the syringe, Taverner took my arm.
"Well, that's fine, Mr. Elliot.
We're very grateful to you for relieving our minds. I must say I thought the old boy's time had come when he started yelling. And now, you'll have a drink before you go." The man's hand trembled on my arm as he spoke. It had been noticeable, too, when he had been holding the dog's head, and I had wondered, maybe Parkinson's disease or nerves or just drink. Certainly he was pouring a generous measure of whiskey into his glass, but as he tipped up the bottle his hand was seized by an even more violent tremor, and he slopped the spirit onto the polished sideboard.
"Oh, God! Oh, God!"
Mrs. Taverner burst out. There was a bitter note of, "Oh, oh, not again," in her cry, and Julia struck her forehead with a hand and raised her eyes to heaven. Taverner shot a single hunted look at the woman, then grinned as he handed me my glass. "Come and sit down, Mr. Elliot," he said. "I'm sure you have time to relax for a few minutes." We moved over to the far side, and Taverner talked pleasantly about dogs and the countryside and the pictures which hung on the walls of the big room. Those pictures were noted in the district. Many of them were originals by famous painters, and they had become the main interest in Taverner's life. His other passion was clocks, and as I looked round the room at the rare and beautiful timepieces standing among elegant period furniture, it was easy to believe the rumours I'd heard about the wealth within these walls. The women did not drink with us. They had disappeared when the whiskey was brought out,
but as I drained my glass, the door was pushed open, and they stood there, looking remarkably alike in expensive tweed coats and fur-trimmed hats. Mrs. Taverner, pulling on a pair of motoring gloves, looked with distaste at her husband.
"We're going into Broughton," she said. "Don't know when we'll be back."
Behind her, Julia stared coldly at her father, her lip curled slightly.